Welcome to the Cosmere Reads, a Cosmere podcast. Your hosts are Alan, Will, and Alondo. This podcast is safe for first-time readers with no spoilers. This week, we'll be covering chapters 64, 65, 66, 67, 68, 69, and 70 of The Hero of Ages. Enjoy!
Welcome, everyone, to episode 46 of The Cosmere Reads. How's everyone doing tonight?
Good, man.
Greetings.
Can't complain.
Try to get to that chapter. The super short chapter. It's like literally one page long that we're starting out with. Yeah, it's like one page long. But yeah, so cool. Awesome. If any of you guys missed it, quick announcement. Last week we had a 200th episode of The Wheel Reads. It was chaos. I do recommend watching it rather than waiting for the actual podcast to come out because you probably won't understand anything going on. It was way too much chaos. There was like 10 people on at once and we had people coming in and out. It was a lot of fun. We had a good time. A really good time, but it was a lot. So yay. That was fun.
Happy belated birthday, man.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, that yeah.
that too. That thing. Yeah. It wasn't a big one. So this was kind of like just another year.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah. So yeah, other news, I guess we got just like a week, week away, JordanCon?
It's the 18th, right? So it's like 2 weekends from...
Yeah. 2 weekends. So yeah, we're getting close. We're getting close. Yeah, not this weekend, but the following weekend, I think, right?
Yeah,
that's it. Yep. So we're getting close. We have one episode before then.
Yep.
Alan's birthday is always a good time. Yes, especially my COVID birthday. That was probably my favorite birthday ever during COVID. If anybody goes all the way back to the Wheel of Reads days during lockdown, we had a lot of fun getting really drunk on Discord and celebrating in our homes.
Did you do an episode? By the way, you just muted yourself.
I know. I adjusted my mic and I rattled the cord.
Did you do a recording?
For
your COVID birthday?
I don't think I did on my birthday. No, we didn't record that day. It was just, we just all hung. Back in those days, we all hung out on Discord because we weren't allowed to hang out anywhere else. Because the world shut down and we weren't allowed to leave our homes. Do you hear that?
Yeah, I was just curious because I would go back and watch it if you did like a podcast episode.
We talked about the shutdown because we started the podcast right before the whole world shut down. And then, of course, it's like a little time capsule. If you go back and listen to our early episodes, like it's us talking about. Yeah, it's nice. Crazy.
That's fun.
It was fun. I had to evacuate a hotel today due to a bomb threat. That's not fun. How's everyone else's weekend?
Holy jeez.
Wow, that's crazy. How's my weekend? It was uneventful. We did a lot of yard work and chores. I fixed my screen on my screen and porch because my cat had pushed it out. So I took the tack board off and restapled it in. And yeah. You know, I don't know. It wasn't that interesting.
I had one of those.
Nothing like a bomb threat.
Yeah. Did some mulching, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went to Home Depot. I don't know. It's kind of a big day.
Didn't have time.
Yeah. Yeah, my life kind of boring these
days. No bomb threats, though, so that's good.
Yeah, no bomb threats. No, none of that. Nothing really happened this weekend. There's apparently this big sports ball thing tomorrow night, right? Isn't there? Is it tomorrow night?
March Madness?
Sports ball.
Yeah, sports ball. Mm-hmm. March Madness. Isn't that in tomorrow night?
I think the men play tomorrow. I don't really know who or what. But
it's Purdue versus UConn.
Yeah, I know UConn's in it. That's all I know.
Are we at the Elite Eight or Sweet 16?
Championship.
No, it's a championship.
It's a championship. See?
Yeah. Yo, but you know, interestingly enough, the ratings for the women, the LSU versus Iowa, it was like the highest viewership. What? For any women's basketball game, and now tickets for the women's championship are like starting to rival
Ooh.
The men's tickets. Okay. And I'm like, hooray, okay. Women.
Yeah.
Go ladies.
Rah, rah. Yeah, go, yeah. Go.
Love it. Love it.
I mean, that's been the biggest argument forever is just that no one watches it. But if you were watching it, then that's fantastic. I'm all for it.
I watched
it. It's like women's soccer, though. I mean, once you catch on to it, you're like, oh, shoot, these ladies be playing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All the time. Cool. You guys ready to talk about some, because we have like a million chapters to do tonight, talk about some chapters. There's a lot of short ones, but
each chapter is one sentence.
Yeah, I know it's not long, but you get the big epigraphs, and there's a lot that's revealed during this section. That's for sure.
Right.
Yeah. So start with chapter 64. One might notice that Ruin did not send his inquisitors to Fadrix until Yeoman had apparently confirmed that the ATM was there in the city. Why not send them as soon as the final cache was located? Where were his minions in all of this? One must realize that Ruin's mind, all men were his minions, particularly those who he could manipulate directly. He didn't send an inquisitor because he was busy doing other tasks. Instead, he sent someone who, in his mind, was exactly the same thing as an inquisitor. He tried to spike Yeoman, failed, and by that time, Ellen's army had arrived. So he used a different pawn to investigate the cache for him and discover if the ATM was really there or not. He didn't commit to many resources to that city at first, fearing a deception on the Lord Ruler's part. Like him, I still wonder if the caches were in part intended for just that purpose, to distract Ruin and keep him occupied.
So the pawn is Marsh, right?
Marsh is one, but I think the pawn he's thinking of here is Vin, to explore the cache for him.
Right. Because we find that out, you know, during the course of the chapters here that he's been like basically using Vin because he can't, well, we find out he can't sense metal.
Right.
Can't work with metal. He can't see metal. And then we find out it's like a blinding light to him, essentially.
Yeah. So it's a spook chapter, but since Spook is half dead, it's a very short chapter. He wakes up and everybody's like, holy crap, he's awake. And he's just like, hey, Breeze, I need you to get something for me. He's like, what? He's like, I need you to write a message. It has to be in steel, and get Gordle to take it and deliver it to them.
Gordle, the champ.
Yeah.
The champ. This guy.
Yeah.
We find out later. By the way, him waking up and saying how ugly Breeze was. he wanted to see his lady friend.
Hey, listen.
But he says he's an ugly face. And I was like, oh, harsh, man.
Yeah. And then he sees his lady friend. He's more excited about that. Beldra.
Yeah, he's back to the Beldra.
But yeah, we later learn what the message is. But right now we don't know. We just know he has a message written. It needs to be taken out of the city. And I mean, literally, this is one page. Gives Breeze a little insult, says hi to Beldra, says, hey, can I get some metal? Yeah, take it to Ben. That's the whole chapter.
When he said bring me some metal, you know what I thought he was going to do? I thought he was going to like carve it into metal like the Flintstones did with the birds on the stone. You know, they like sit there and like, you know, use the little rock and chisel and all that kind of stuff. I'm like, how is he going to write in this piece of metal? Of course, you find out later it's basically like a piece of like sheet metal, like thin metal. But he's able to crumple it up and everything.
Yeah. So, you can etch into it very easily.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Do some etchings. I think that's the right word, right? Is it etching or engraving? Do you engrave or do you etch?
I would say engrave. Etch, I feel like is when you like kind of make like a drawing in something. Engraving, I feel like it's when you're like writing letters, right?
Okay, so it's engraved.
Yeah.
Someone might correct me in chat. What's the difference between etching and engraving? Is it the difference between like a picture and words?
You can only etch if you have an etch-a-sketch.
Boom. There it is. From the word of the Hasbro. Oh, wait. Is it Mattel? Mattel expert? I don't know. I don't remember who makes the etch-a-sketch.
I thought etching was like kind of like scratching.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is. But you can etch into metal, I think.
Let's Google it.
Okay.
Let's do that.
Etching to the Googles. Versus, oh, it's already been searched. Etching versus engraving.
Nice.
The primary difference between them is engraving is a physical process and etching is a chemical process.
Etching is a chemical
process. Okay. An engraver uses sharp tools to cut lines directly into a surface, while an etcher burns lines into a surface with acid.
That doesn't sound like how Etch-A-Sketch works.
That's not what I was expecting.
That does not sound like
they are not etching. They are engraving.
All right. Is this a... Where are your works cited on this?
Etch-A-Sketch, do you break that joint open and there's hydrochloric acid inside? That'd be oh, man.
From the very reliable website, Scientific Solutions since 1963.
Nice.
Okay. Well, I'll take their word for it. It's on the internet,
so it's got to be true. It's on the internet.
Let me type scholarly article after that.
They wouldn't put anything untrue on the internet. I don't think that's how the internet works.
Right. Yeah. Got some acid etched beer mugs.
My boy actually etched a beer mug for me with Black Panther on it.
What kind of chemicals did he use?
acid, Alan.
Spittle.
He put it in the Etch-A-Sketch.
Oh, that's what it was. That's right. Yeah, he just rolled it around in the Etch-A-Sketch until it just, like, you know, worked out.
All right. So they engraved letters.
We'll go with engraved.
Maybe.
We'll go with engraved. Okay. Sure. Yeah. I don't think they used acid. I think it was engraved. All right. Engraved onto the metal. So you guys ready to move on to chapter 65 or anything else from this little, I mean, literally it's a page. I don't know if we can pull anything else from this.
Yeah.
It's pretty short. 65 is a lot longer. There's a lot more meat in 65. So, and these epigraphs are getting longer and longer. In those moments when the Lord Ruler both held the power, at the well and was feeling it drain away from him, he understood many things. He saw the power of fear, Kimmy, and rightly feared it. Many of the Terrace people he knew would reject him as the hero, for he didn't fulfill their prophecies well. They'd see him as a usurper who killed the hero they sent, which in truth he was. I think over the years, ruin would subtly twist him and make him do terrible things to his own people. But at the beginning, I suspect his decisions against them were motivated more by logic than emotion. He was about to unveil the grand power in the Mistborn. He could have, I suppose, kept Allomancy a secret and used Fair Chemist as the primary warriors and assassins. However, I think he was wise to choose as he did. Fair Chemists, by nature of their powers, have a tendency towards scholarship. With their incredible memories, they would have been very difficult to control over the centuries. Indeed, they were difficult to control, even when he suppressed them. Allomancy not only provided a spectacular new ability without that drawback, it offered a mystical power he could use to bribe kings to his side.
I feel like it's just a bunch of expository stuff right now.
Cool. So basically it just gets into a little bit about the Lord Ruler and his motivations behind what he did, but yeah. And that maybe he wasn't as evil as it's made out to be. I think what it points to here is that a lot of it was ruin influencing him over the centuries and making him, you know, subtly worse than what he was. And some of the bad decisions he made were more logical than, like it says, than emotional. It's just, this has to be done. So,
yeah, this book has been making that argument for a while. And I mean, and I get it. I mean, yeah. And, you know, we talked about the whole, I don't know which episode it was. We were talking about the whole absolute power corrupting absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And then getting to a point where he felt like he didn't have to, like, you know, explain himself to his minions or the people who were beneath him. And so no one understood, you know, his purpose and whatever. And he just came off as a tyrant.
Mm-hmm.
But he really had altruistic motives to a point.
Right. Yep. So we're in Ellen's point of view. Ellen asks Hammond if attacking the city with Kolos is the right thing to do. Hammond replies, I don't think so. and Ellen's like, yeah, I don't think so either. I don't think using the Kolos is the right move. So maybe we should go and pack the camp up and go back to Luthadel. That's kind of where Ellen is at this point. he's kind of abandoning this idea of attacking the city. And Yeoman's watching as the soldier states that Ellen's army is leaving Fadrick's. Ruin thinks it's really odd and tells, and Vin decides to bluff him at this point. So this is where we have that whole interaction with Vin and Ruin trying to do the double crossing agent, double speak, trying to convince Ruin. Yeah. So let's talk about it.
My question this whole time has been, when did Vin figure out that the earring was the cause of her ability to have this connection with Ruin?
It was in these chapters, I believe.
Okay. I feel like there was not like a specific point that I could recall, the moment where she had like this like moment of realization.
I don't know if she's had it or not yet. I think she's beginning to suspect because there's something okay. Oh no, that was the message to Vin that Marsh intercepted. So that's later.
Because then it's like she takes the earring out, you know, and she does the thing. I can't remember if that's this chapter or next chapter, whenever it happens.
Yeah, and the mist come to her.
No, I'm talking about when she does the earring thing and you know, through Marsh.
That's in this chapter.
Okay. So and you know, that's when, you know, Ruin like, you know, disappears. And so I was like, did she know that's what was gonna happen, or was it a surprise to her?
I think it was a surprise to her. I think so okay. at this point. Yeah.
All right.
But
well, because yeah. isn't Spook's message supposed to like inform Vin of that whole thing?
Right. Yes. Yes. Of course it's never gonna get there, but
yeah.
Right. So I was under the impression that she didn't know.
She doesn't. I don't think she knows.
But Spook hasn't seen or heard from Vin.
No. Yeah, and Spook doesn't know about the earring either. He just knows, don't trust anyone who's been spiked with metal.
Right, right. But I would assume at this point, he hasn't seen Vin in like, I mean, got a month and months.
Yeah, it's been a long time. Maybe even a year.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, a year is probably a good estimate.
Yeah. But yeah, she realizes that he still can't find the ATM cash, and she knows it blinds him that he can't see it because whatever, you know, that the caches were all in metal, which blinds him. So she kind of uses this to kind of trick him, I guess, you know, mm-hmm. Turn to Marsh and just start talking, you know, basically talking crap like, funny, you want the ATM, you'll never find it. Like,
yeah. Right?
But I know where it is, kind of almost like.
Some quick thinking. Some cunning, if you will.
Yeah.
Because yeah, like
she's sneaking on her toes, yeah.
Because it was all BS, right?
Yeah, oh, it was all bluff.
It's definitely BS. I mean,
yeah.
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 But she's pulling some of that thieving street life, you know, con action.
Oh, and she's trying to get Marsh close to her so she can grab his metal vials and everything like that. She's doing all the street smart stuff here.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And then also during this, I guess Ruin starts getting really frustrated. It's like, well, fine, if you won't talk, I'll just destroy your husband. So, you know, says tells Yeoman, you know, evacuate the city, order all your troops to attack Ella's army as they're packing up and leaving.
Right.
And Vin's plea with Yeoman, like, don't listen to them. Like, this is not, yeah, you know, he just told you the Lord Ruler's dead. Like, you heard it from the Inquisitor himself. Like, they are manipulating you. Can't you use logic and understand? Like, don't do it. That he listens and orders.
But look, I mean, this guy has one of the quickest turnarounds I've ever seen for a cult member. Good for him. I mean, usually people in a cult, man, you got to be like completely like deprogrammed in the whole deal. And he turns right around, like all he needed to do was like eat a Snickers. He's like, I just need to eat a Snickers and now I can think straight, you know, and so he's good to go now. But he turns it around. I'm like, okay, good for him.
There's like, I don't know if it's a TV show, a comedy, or what it's from, but there's something out there where someone's like talking like an interview or like giving like it was like a podcast or like a radio show. Mm-hmm. And he's talking about a cult that he's in. And like he realizes in the middle of the conversation, he's like, oh, damn it, I'm in a cult.
like mid interview,
like mid mention, it's like, never mind. I don't like any of this crap.
I please let us know if you find that reference. I want to see that video.
It's hilarious.
Oh man!
Wait.
Yeah. Oh,
like man. Two and two, like hit, like the connection, the synapses made the connections. Like,
I love the now the closest thing I've seen to that was the guy that was a flat earther, and then he was talking about how the one where he's talking about the light. He's like, yeah. So if you do this, you shouldn't be able to see the light.
Yeah.
And so he sets it up, and he's like ready to do this thing to prove his point, and then it actually disproves his.
It proves that it's round. He goes, "That's interesting."
the look of shock on his face. I was like, "Yes." Oh no! Science prevailed. How does it do that?
The fact that I can't remember what Greek person it was figured out that in BC times that you still have people out there, like they did it with the obelisks in Egypt. They put a obelisk in Alexandria and had an obelisk in further down south, and they measured the shadow off of the obelisk at the same time of day at both locations, and then measured how long the shadow was.
Mm-hmm.
And because they were different sizes, they were able to do a calculation that it didn't work on a flat surface. So they were able to actually pretty closely calculate the entire circumference of the Earth by the measurements of their shadows. Like, it was within.
Oh yeah,
I mean really close.
Look, these guys back in the day were brilliant. I mean, we do not give them enough credit. I mean, and for the lack of like scientific tools they had back then, the way they were able to like, you know, composite, you know, the understanding of the world around them is just so spectacular. I got so much appreciation for, you know, the way they were just able to just think outside the box.
Yeah. Like I always tell people, you know, the Earth is about 73% water. It's not carbonated, so therefore it is flat. Dad jokes. Mm-hmm. Got them all day long. I'll be here all night.
No. I give you a half smirk on that one. Half smirk.
Dad jokes. Yeah, yeah. No, I'm in the thick of it now, man. It's
you got a whole cadre of kids who's gonna laugh at that joke.
Gotta keep the dad jokes going, man.
Absolutely.
So especially as they get older, I mean, I'm almost at the, you know, when they get to about 10 years from now, high school, middle school age, the embarrassment, it's gonna be great.
Wait till they start telling you dad jokes, and then you gotta laugh at them. You're like, ah. My son gets all the corniest jokes. I was like, oh man,
like our 6-year-old son tries to tell me a riddle, like when he learned at school or something like that. I'm like, yeah, I know the answer already. He's like, how do you know it? I was like, yeah, I've been around a long time, kid. I know all those.
Or when they try and tell you a riddle and they don't know how to tell it, and you got to correct it for them while they're telling you the riddle.
Yeah. Is that how it goes?
Yep.
Anyway, so switch back to Eldon and Hammond, and they observe Yeomans in fear of force like charging out of the city and then hitting the wall of like ash and slowing down to almost crawl. And they're just sitting there like, why the hell would they throw like 5 people and the entire army of Kolos? This makes no sense.
Right.
And they're like, should we attack back? And like, and Ellen's rightfully so is like, no, that's way too suspicious. Like, way too suspicious. Like, we should retreat. Which is smart of a military command. I mean, like, from a military mind, I don't have one, but I would think that would be smart. Knowing that your opponent's not dumb to see something like that happening where they're completely safe behind the walls and all of a sudden this smaller force comes charging out. It's like, that's not right.
Ash is like chest high at this point, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So the idea of running... We're gonna put that in air quotes. Running, you ain't running.
No, they're, yeah. Of course, Ellen says, you know, orders a full retreat, sends the Kolos first, and since they're so big, they're kind of cleared a path so they can actually escape pretty fast.
Right.
You know, out their way, and you know, and Ellen's trying to figure out, you know, since the similar strategy he used to take control of the Kolos attacking, you know, when they weren't ready, he's like, yeah, this doesn't seem right. We're gonna have to do a full retreat.
And I kept wanting to hope that, you know, there was going to be like some, I don't know, epiphany or exposure, that there was like some kind of mind meld going on between Vin and Ellen, because she was really hoping he was going to retreat and he happens to retreat.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh man, I wonder if there's like some like mind thing going on. There's some connection or something that, you know,
yeah,
it just happened to be luck, I guess, unless I'm told otherwise.
It was Eros. I can't pronounce the name.
Erastinus.
Erastinus. Yeah. There you go.
I remember the name. I didn't know that that he was involved in that experiment. I don't know what I know him from, something else, but I didn't know about that. Yeah. So I got to look that up. So thank you for posting that. Cool.
Yeah. So switch back to Ruin and Ven. And Ruin taunts Ven like, oh, you think you're playing me? No, you're not playing me. You know how I can control Inquisitors because they're spiked? Remember that? Yeah. Guess who else is spiked? And Ven's like, oh shit. Like,
oh man, clicked. She has that moment. It's like you can just see her like whole world decompress. Just like, it's like one of those moments in a movie where it plays the music and like it seems like the whole like world collapses around him in that moment.
And then it switches back to L and he feels like a rip, like something just rips out of him.
Oh yeah.
And it takes him like half a second to realize. I can just imagine it happening in slow-mo too. Like just this like this realization, like what's going on, and like and realizing the same second, like shit, like as the 20,000 Koloss stop, turn around. It's like, yeah,
not a good look.
Not good.
Not good. Yeah. And at this point, Vince pleading with Yeoman to pull back his, you know, his troops or let Ellen in, and Marsh, you know, tells Vin that, the Lord Ruler, you know, made an army of Inquisitors and Koloss and can be taken over by Ruin. And Ruin's just been patiently waiting. Why do you think they let you have the Koloss? You can just move the Koloss where you wanted them. They're just taunting them at this point.
Oh my gosh. The fact that, I mean, this guy basically was creating like armies for Ruin this entire time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and when it was said that, you know, it's true. It's absolutely true. He created armies for his enemy.
Yeah. Without even knowing.
Without even knowing. I mean, that's rough.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, at this point, Vin's still kind of being defiant. So Marsh comes over to grab Vin and starts shaking her violently and throws against the wall. But while she's able to do that, she's able to get her hand into his sash and take the metals, the metal vials, immediately chugs them. And takes her earring and drops Marsh earring right through the head. It's gotta hurt. Actually, probably doesn't feel.
Still don't understand how that happened, but
I understand how what happened.
Well, because I mean, it seemed like she wasn't able to do anything with her earring before.
No, she can still push it with steel. It's still metal.
I mean, I just feel like there's other opportunities she had throughout the book that she could have used, not just this book, other books. That she could have used that metal.
The earring.
Yeah, and she didn't.
Like, use it as a coin shot? I mean, I guess she didn't want to lose it.
Something, I guess. I mean, but yeah. I don't know. I just feel like it's really opportune here. I feel like I know it's probably a plot device to try to, like, you know, kind of, you know, delay its use. And
yeah, I think there's other options than everywhere else. I mean, she had coins or had some other pieces of metal. I mean, this room has specifically been taken apart to the point where it doesn't have any other metal in it.
I mean, what about when she was captured, though? I mean, when she was captured and down there, you know, like talking with Ruin and stuff, why didn't she like try to do something with the earring then? I don't know if it would have helped, but the fact she didn't even try, or at least we didn't see evidence of her like trying to do anything with it. I was like, why didn't she like, you know, pull it out and like try to like, you know, use it to, I don't know, something.
I don't.
But did she have? She didn't have metals to burn when she was captured, did she?
But she had her earring, and that's the thing. I guess I don't understand. Oh, she didn't have metals to
burn. Yeah, she needs steel push to
right. She would need this metal to burn to use the earring as a weapon. Of
right.
Some sort.
Yeah, to make like a coin shot where she shoots coins. So she shoots there. Yeah.
It's like she can ingest the earring and use the earring, right? So that
she can't. It doesn't have any elemental ability of the earring itself. It's just a piece of metal.
Right.
So. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah. You got a good point. All right.
So anyway. Yep. Drops Marsh and, you know, begins yelling at Yeoman to withdraw his forces, and he refuses. So Vin then realizes she still has control of her Koloss.
Now she has seen, by the way, she has seen other Inquisitors get dropped and like raised back up. Why did she even think for a half second that was going to kill?
Because she's Duralvin. I don't know. She thinks. I mean, it buys her some time. You know,
I would think that, but the fact that she's even slightly surprised that he gets back up,
yeah,
I'm like, young lady, you've seen these guys get back up numerous times now. Come on.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Vin orders her Kolos to attack Yeoman soldiers. And, you know, Yeoman doesn't know that those are, you know, he thinks that they're under the Inquisitor's control. So it's kind of this ruse where it's like, see, I told you they're going to attack you too. Like, they're our enemy. So finally convinces him to change his mind. You know, to that he will grant Ellen and his army a safe passage back in.
Right.
And at that point, that's when Marsh gets back up. And Vin decides just to push everything she got into soothing. As Marsh is starting to grow like a fair chemist, so she realizes he has that too, choking her. And she's pulling everything she can to Ralliman, and then she also starts to draw on the mist, like she did with the Lord Ruler. And the mist come to her, give her even more power. And then she feels something click in Marsh just for a half a second.
Right.
And he freaks out and runs. Like, terrified.
Tail between legs. Legs. He's just like.
But the fact that he can even control him, we later learned that was Ruin that was terrified. But,
right.
Yeah. He turns tail and runs. Yeah.
Yeah, but she was talking about, you know, she kept hitting that wall, kept hitting that wall. And then all of a sudden it's like kind of the wall gave.
It did for a second, but just long enough. And it came right back.
Long enough.
It
right.
popped right back up, just long enough to be like,
yep,
we're out.
It's like feeling something buckle for just a half a second. You're like, oh, cool. Yep.
You know. All right, shut it down. Shut it down. We're good. Yeah, when things start to go really, really bad, but they haven't gone full bad yet, that's a good time just to stop. You know, what was that experience? I got to look it up now. Yeah, I think there was experience. I don't want to say CERN did it. I'm looking it up. I'm not sure exactly what lab it was. It wasn't CERN. But they decided to try to see what would happen the closer they got down to absolute zero Kelvin. It's absolute zero. So we've never actually been able to get that cold. And we were in a lab, and they got pretty darn close to absolute zero. And the actual light particles or photons or whatever started to coalesce into like basically liquid form.
Yeah, light. See, light. You don't want to do that.
Yeah, light started turning to liquid, and they shut it down because they're like, "We didn't expect that to happen. We got scared. We're gonna turn this off."
Because
light becomes liquid, like that's scary.
Absolute zero, subatomic particles stop moving. All right.
Yeah.
There's problems that happen when you start getting to that point.
Light started displaying properties of liquids started to coalesce and do weird things, and that's when they shut it down because they're like, yeah, we don't know what's happening and we don't want to go further because we feel like if we push any further something really bad's gonna happen.
Oh yeah.
we'll just stop.
It's kind of like, you know, they were experimenting with like trying to create like little mini black holes, you know. Now of course they were like that. It's on a subatomic scale.
They've done that.
So it's not like it's gonna just, but you know, at some point in time you guys say, let's not push it too far. So I mean, hell, even if anybody who's seen Oppenheimer knows, you know, there's still a slight chance that they thought it were going to ignite the atmosphere.
When they dropped the Tsar bomb in Russia, they actually thought they placing bets on whether or not the whole atmosphere would ignite.
And the thing was huge. Yeah. Huge. Oh, Lord have mercy. Yeah.
Anyways, so Marsh leaves, and Ellen and his army are fighting desperately against the Kolos, and Vin flies down like the hero she is and badass and lands amongst them.
Superhero landing.
Yeah, superhero landing. You know, like the fist down the ground.
Three-point pose.
Bam. Yeah, three-point pose. Cloud of smoke comes up, and Ellen's like, about time.
Yeah.
It's like, yo, we'll let you in the city. Retreat to the city. So that's how we end this chapter. It's a fun chapter. A lot of cool stuff. A
lot of good stuff going on. That whole Kolos turning around to get ready to turn back on their master.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put master in air quotes. But that was chilling.
yeah,
chilling. I was like,
to see that in live action or even anime, any other type of medium would be one of those epic. I mean, it's very tropish, but at the same time, it's terrifying.
There's a lot of stuff in these books, by the way, where as much as I would love to see it in a movie, I'm like, this would never work in a movie.
Yeah, true.
It's too out there.
Yeah.
So it's good as long as I'm imagining it. I don't want to see somebody else's version of it.
Yeah, true. I hear you.
Because it would be just like, you know.
It's not right.
No. They would never get a Kolos right.
True.
I mean, you can't. They would never get it right.
Yeah.
Because it would have to be graphic and grotesque and whatever. And who wants to see that on screen for like.
At some point they talked about making a Mistborn either movie or TV show. I mean, it's been the rights have been sold to Hollywood. They've gotten as far as having casting tryouts for it. So,
bag of antlers. How is that going to work on screen? That's all I'm saying.
I don't know.
It doesn't work on screen. It works in my head.
Lots of CGI. I don't know. Yeah, if you do CGI right, it can be done, but you have to do it right. And it's tough. Right.
You know, it's gonna come off like a Glad bag full of like deer antlers. That's all it's gonna look like.
Let the directors of like Monty Python come up with that one.
Ha! Yeah. Yeah.
You got to do it like to take yourself seriously, right? A joke. A parody. That's the only way to
A parody of it, I would be down for that all day long.
Yeah,
it'd be tough to do.
The bones. Yeah, it'd be tough. I mean, I've always said that it'd be better as anime than it would as but the masses
definitely anime.
But anime doesn't apply. I mean, it's a more niche market. Although it's becoming more mainstream.
It is very much mainstream with, especially you talking about, look, I'm going to sound old. The young people, man, they are on some anime. I thought I was into anime back in the late 80s, early 90s. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yo, I'm edgy, man. I'm into like, you know, Akira and Fist of the North Star. I was like, it's like anime. Alchemist? No, Fist of the North Star, which is like this really violent like movie that came out like back in like early 90s, whatever. And now it's like, I mean, my sons and their friends like name anime I have never heard of. And I'm like, they're into like this like really like, I'm talking like straight out of Japan anime. And I'm like, okay, y'all get access to stuff I didn't even heard of. So I thought I was in. Y'all are in. Oh, and they're reading manga. I mean, so they're reading the stuff before it even gets animated. So
that's One Piece.
Yeah, they're oh yeah, they're in it.
Yeah, cool. So yeah, last I heard, Sanderson was writing the screenplay himself. That was a while ago. So the last update he had about the TV show was probably about 6 months ago. So he did talk about it, saying that that he did go to casting calls, but then they decided to scrap it for now, or not necessarily scrap it completely, just put it on hold. But he did announce last week he had a meeting in Hollywood this week. So we'll see. There's also been talks about Stormlight stuff. Yeah, Stormlight is anime. Yeah, there's been some talks. There's been some rumors about Stormlight stuff. So we'll see.
By the way, rest in peace, Akira Toriyama, creator of Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
RIP. March 1st, I think he passed away.
Okay.
Anyway. Awesome. Yeah. All right.
Well, all right. So that's what we end this chapter with Vin just flying out of the sky. I'd be like, retreat that way. But yeah,
yep,
the badass return of Vin. So, anything else for this before we switch to chapter 66?
I get nothing.
Nope.
Okay.
Cool. Finally, a short epigraph.
Finally, a short epigraph.
Inquisitors had little chance of resisting ruin. They had many more spikes than his other hemallergic creations, and that put them completely under his domination. Yes, it would have taken a man of supreme will to resist ruin, even slightly, while bearing the spikes of an inquisitor.
So that says a lot about Marsh.
Yeah, but this chapter is with Sazed, because we're with Sazed and Tensoon. Tenzin's like, yeah, just revealed his big secret last time, you know, about the Chandra, the origins. And Sayid's like, yeah, we needed to go to your homeland, but I don't know. It's going to take us forever and all this ash and stuff like that. And Tenzin's like, I mean, get me a pig. He's like MacGyvering it. He's like, get me a pig, two screwdrivers, some duct tape, and a horse. I gotcha.
Oh, Lord have mercy. This Joker is ingesting like anything and everything. And I'm sitting like, he can't kill these things. And I was like, oh, that's right. He just can't kill humans.
Humans. Yeah.
And I was like, okay.
So he eats a pig. He eats a boar to add some extra muscle to like a horse and like becomes like, the most biggest horse ever and can just plow through the ash. Like, yeah. Pretty awesome.
Sure.
Let me think of Man Bear Pig.
Man Bear Pig. There.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Takes Sazed back to the Chandra homeland. At this point, Tenzin also tells about the creation of the Chandra and some of their abilities and how they're spiked, which makes Sazed a little bit worried. And then he kind of explains, like, oh, yeah, we know about Ruin. Yeah, 100%. But we only have two spikes, which makes us way less acceptable to Ruin's pressures.
Right.
But we're spiked. But so is other creatures. But other creatures have more spikes. So we're good. Right?
Cool. Right. Sure.
Tenzin also tells Sazed that Ven will lead an army of Alamancers to homeland according to their prophecy, that there would be entire, and Sazed's just kind of like, I don't know if there's that many Alamancers left. Like there's only a few of us left at this point. Like, I don't know about this army of Alamancers. Sazed's like, I'll just try to go and convince the first generation, you know, I'll go in there and Tenzin's like, good luck, you know, but hey, best of wishes.
So there's this new literary tool, brand new, just came on the market, called foreshadowing. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Sounds interesting.
It's very interesting stuff, man.
I've
been reading up on it.
this army of Alamancers that.
Yeah. Now it's obviously the sequel to Threeshadowing, but foreshadowing. It's cutting edge stuff.
It's the bee's knees.
It's the bee's knees.
Gotta check it out.
It's out there like the jitterbug, people.
Yeah. So they get to the place, and Tenzin turns to Sazed and is like, don't you recognize where we are? And Sazed's like, no, there's ash everywhere. I don't recognize anything here. It's like,
it's just USA.
It's like, he's like, we're right next to the pits of Hasid. And he's like, where your terrorist men have set up camp. And he's like, next to the pits? He's like, the homelands, there's the pits? He goes, yeah, just get on there. And if you go down there a little bit, you'll find.
Yeah, I forget the next couple lines, but then it goes.
Secret tunnel, through the mountain. Secret, 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 secret tunnel. Yeah.
Yes. The Avatar.
What is that?
Avatar.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, Will, get on that.
It's like, you guys need to show me the way.
Yo, get on that.
Secret tunnel.
That's right.
It's Avatar, favorite song from Avatar.
Avatar is the... Oh, really? Okay, that's a good take. But Avatar is like the best mix of like serious and silly in this anime. And the same dude that was involved with Invader Zim is like one of the art directors. Yeah. Man, that thing is so good. So good.
Okay.
And it's actually pretty short if you really compare it to like One Piece and Dragon Ball and all that stuff. It's three seasons? Yeah. Three books, and each book is about him figuring out a different element to work with. So
take on Korra, or is it Korra? Yeah, Korra
Legend of Korra, yeah.
Legend of Korra. There's some spinoffs of
Avatar. Legend of Korra is good too.
Yeah. Anyway, so Tenzin leaves because he's like, hell no, I'm not going down there. Like, they'll pour acid on me. They'll do all sorts of things to me. Like, I am not going in there. That's all you.
Right.
New YouTube series. Will watches Avatar.
Ooh.
two reactions of Will watching Avatar.
But the problem would be is like the two of us basically just telling Will, what do you think is going to happen next in this? And Will is like, they're going to sing another song.
Pretty much.
Yep.
Yep. So Tinsoon leaves. Seizin enters the tunnel complex. It immediately is like is encounters a couple of Chondra guards, and he's just like, "Yeah, so you're gonna take me to the first generation." He's like, "You don't give us commands." He's like, "Well, then I'll just go myself." And he's like,
"Well, first he's like, you should take me in there because otherwise I'll turn around and leave here and
tell everyone that we're blast
everybody."
And you can't kill like, me because that's in your contract.
So about the secret tunnel. That's right. He's like, "You want me going out there singing about the secret tunnel, or are you gonna let me in?
Yeah, are you gonna let me in?" They're like, they look at each other like, "Yes, yeah, okay, yeah. Let's come on, let's go." And like, he's like, "Take me to your leader." He's like, "You're not allowed to." He's like, I'll do what I want. You can't do shit to me."
Yeah. And that's, man, pretty Sage much has got some swagger, by the way. This,
I mean, we get to the next chapter, but that's how we end this one. But yeah, when we get to the,
he's got some swagger going on.
Oh, yeah. Thing. Either the other Will Reads readers not seen Avatar. I think they have seen Avatar. I'd be shocked
if Chris hadn't seen
it. He watches everything anime.
Chris definitely seems like the guy who's been seeing some
Avatar. Yeah, he sees everything anime, and I'd be shocked if Ian hasn't either.
Ian seems like the kind of guy who would see, so yeah, I'd buy that too. Yeah,
I watched the Avatar movie.
Ask him though, just to confirm. Oh, no live action.
No, the most recent one was good.
I haven't seen it, but I heard the reviews were middling.
It's not, well, I compare it to the other live action, so.
Okay, that's a really, really low bar to set.
It is. So it doesn't take much to be good.
You watch the M. Night Shyamalan movie as if it's a parody of Avatar. And I assume that this Netflix is actually somebody trying. But the fact that none of the creative directors stayed with it, the original directors from the Avatar show, original animated series, they left.
Yeah.
Which says, that gave me everything I need to know. I was like, oh, that's not a good sign.
Yeah. I mean, Ian might not have seen Avatar before, but I would be surprised if he has. Chris definitely has.
Ask the question. Will you get a chance next time? Ask the question.
We'll record tomorrow night. I'll ask.
Yeah, just be like, "Hey, have you guys seen it?" You know.
Yeah. Pythos really wants this live reactions to watching.
We can just do all four of you guys watching me watch Avatar.
Yeah. Avatar Reads.
The next. Something about four guys watching somebody do something sounds a little creepy, man.
Exactly.
It sounds like the, oh man.
Anyways, anything else from all of this? Merim Darepig carrying Seizid to the secret tunnel, Seizid entering into the secret tunnel. And secret tunnel. Anything else?
I'm never going to be able to get Man Bear Pig out of my head thinking about this. Tinsoon creation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's that CRISPR technology. That's all the Chondra uses. They use CRISPR, DNA sequencing,
DNA splicing.
And they splice their DNA to make whatever they want. I mean, what they're bringing back woolly mammoths, right? Isn't that like next year?
Oh my god, that's what they came up with. I mean, it's like, "Oh, we can use DNA splicing to get rid of all these different diseases and ailments and whatever."
Nope, we're bringing back woolly mammoths.
We're going to bring back woolly mammoths because you know what people need in this life? To bring their spirits, everything back to just reality of just positivity. Hairy elephants.
Yep.
Let's get them.
They plan on having a full herd by 2030. There's already a town in Colorado that's passed an ordinance allowing them to have space to build the sanctuary for them.
Yeah, so all I think of is all the things they can accomplish, and all I can think of is the guy coming out like he did after the Osama bin Laden thing, just goes into the mic and says, "We got him." You know, about a freaking woolly mammoth. I'm like, okay, sure, woolly mammoth.
It's either going to be "We got him," or it's going to be someone coming out and it's going to be the Hangover. "We fucked up."
I'll take either. I will take either. Now, of course, the moment they show a baby woolly mammoth, we're all done, right? We're all going to be like, "Oh." Yeah, but seriously.
All right. Chapter 67. Kolos also had very little chance of breaking free. Four spikes and their diminished mental capacity left them fairly easy to dominate. Only in the throes of blood frenzy did they have any form of autonomy. Four spikes also made them easier for Allomancers to control. In our time, it required a Duraliman push to control the Fakantra. Kolos, however, could be taken by a determined regular push, particularly when they were afraid.
So all this is just recounting stuff we already knew.
Yeah. So we're with Elend and Vin. It's in Vin's point of view. They're in Fadrix with Yeoman, and they're just watching the giant Kolos army gather outside, and a big earthquake happens. Not like the one in New Jersey yesterday, because that was like nothing, but a big earthquake, a real one. You know, I saw a picture of the salt shaker tipped over and said, we will rebuild. You know, it was like the earthquake we had in Virginia. Like, what was it?
That was back in 2011. You might be right, but I remember I was at the school division building and I had never experienced an earthquake before. And it's like weird. You feel like the entire ground just like just moves under your feet. And you're like, what?
I was at the YMCA running on a treadmill when it happened. And everyone started freaking around me. And I'm just sitting there running because I didn't realize it because I'm running.
Right.
I was like, oh, what the hell? Like, I'm just getting my earthquake. I was like, really? Like,
well, three of my people work in a Jersey. We were on a call. And they were like, did you guys just feel that? And I was like, we're in Virginia. Feel what? He's like, an earthquake just now? And I was like,
yeah.
You need to get off of the phone right now and make sure you're okay. Make sure everything around you is okay. Was it like a 5.5 or something? Or 5 point something? I don't know the magnitude.
4.8.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. Still, that's enough to cause some damage. So
it is. But not like a whole lot.
One in Taiwan.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that thing. Yeah.
Well, I mean, like California ones get regular over 4.8s on a regular basis. So like,
well, Taiwan gets regular earthquakes too.
It's in the Ring of Fire.
Ring of Fire. So they get all the time.
Yeah, I mean, volcanoes and earthquakes are kind of. When I was sailing to Indonesia, it was not uncommon to just be sailing past a random island and like, oh, the island's on fire. Oh no, that's lava. It's a volcano. Cool. Let's keep sailing. Hope it doesn't actually start spewing lava. I was just kind of dribbling down the sides and catching things on fire. Like, oh, kind of cool. Vin's so earthquake hits, does some damage to the city. Vin's unable to use the mist now. Like the mist is kind of not working for him anymore, like it was. Mm-mm. And she's just pondering, trying to bluff ruin. And how to make the mist help her again. It's like, why won't they help me? I can't figure out why. I can't quite put my finger on it. She tells Ellen that she has to get the ATM cache and bring it there. And they leave for Luthadel, hoping to make Ruin tip his hand. So they say some things out loud. I think this is all distraction and bluffs. Trying to get Rare into.
She says it's pretty obvious, though. She said Ellen is not playing it up very well.
We have to go to the ATM. What ATM? The ATM, you know, the stuff, right? You know, we know where it is, right? And Ellen's like, yeah.
And she's like, don't quit your day job, dude. I'm
talking to the magic person right here. You can't see, but I can, all right? Listen, it's right here.
Right.
I mean, you would kind of look like a crazy person if, like, you're trying to lie to someone that you can see that that person can't. Like, imagine if we're in a room and I'm trying to tell stories to the person right here that you can't see. Like, this person right here.
Sure.
You'd be a crazy person.
Or I'd advise you to drink more.
Cheers.
Oh, there it is.
Just keep drinking. You'll pass out eventually.
That's right. It dulls the pain.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. I don't know if that works for schizophrenia, drinking more.
Then you get two drunk people.
Yeah, I don't think that works, but I think it might enhance the symptoms. I don't know.
Oh, who knows?
I'm not schizophrenic. I've met schizophrenic people. I've talked with them, but I've never asked them that question about drinking.
I try not to go drinking with them. I mean, it's just not that I'm against it. Just I've never put myself in that situation.
I don't know how that works out.
Do you guys drink with schizophrenics often? No. Okay.
Cool. I mean, does the voice of my head count?
Only if he answers. It's
Well, then I'm drinking all the time. Constantly. Steadily. Absolutely.
Only if he answers in a different voice that's completely separate from your unconscious. Like,
huh? I mean, he does have me looking for the magic brown unicorn, but I mean, that's a common thing, though, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
that, well, no, Candy Mountain is.
Candy Mountain. Okay, got it.
I mean, Candy Mountain, magic
Unicorn. Oh, yeah. Magic Brown Unicorn, though, should be part of that, right?
I mean, 100%. Yeah.
Charlie, I'm not the only one who thinks about the Magic Brown Unicorn, right?
No, Charlie.
Oh, okay. Good. Charlie. You're my friend. Charlie.
The Magical Leotard.
Oh, my gosh. Those videos were hilarious when they came out.
My kids hate it. They never seen the video because I don't show them that because it's not appropriate for kids. But
it's not kid
friendly. It's not kid friendly. But they have like a dinosaur book and there's a Leoplordon like on one of the pages. Mm-hmm. And every time we get that page, it's like, it's the magical Leoplordon. Yay, Charlie. We're going to Candy Mountain. Mm-hmm. And they're like, Dad, stop. I was like, the magical Leoplordon.
The songs are great in that series, though. Those Charlie songs are.
Oh, yeah.
Shun.
You young kids don't know how great the internet was back in the day.
Oh, it is early days.
The early days of the internet. Charlie the Unicorn. Yes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh shit! I have no idea.
Oh, you haven't seen Charlie the Unicorn? Look it up.
Oh,
no, I don't even look that up.
Get on Charlie, man. It's quick. It's like only like four, maybe five videos.
Yeah, there's only four. They're fantastic.
Charlie sounds like he's voiced by H-Con Benjamin.
Early internet.
Yes. It's like Chocolate Rain and all that stuff back in the day.
Did you guys ever like watch like Homestar Runner? That's like the earliest thing.
Homestar Runner with Strong Bad, right?
Welcome to Homestar1.net. It's .com.
Yes.
Someone just said Homestar Runner.
Yes. There you go.
Yeah. That's Space Coast to Coast. You talking about Bram? Did you say Homestar Runner? You said somebody's name.
Oh, Strong I said Bad. Strong Bad.
Strong Bad.
Okay, Strong Bad. Wasn't that part of Space Coast to Coast too?
No, Strong Bad was part of Homestar Runner.
Oh, Homestar Runner. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I used to watch both of those. Space Coast to Coast.
Space Coast Coast to Coast, though, was like the best, especially the fact that all the villains were on this show. And that's where Brack came from and then had the Brack show.
Yeah.
Oh man, Adult Swim back in the day was killing it constantly. My favorite show though on Adult Swim, and not a lot everybody watched it, but I loved it so much. And it led to Frisky Dingo, and then it led to Archer. But it was C-Lab 2021.
Oh yeah.
God, I love that. Oh, I loved that show. I thought that thing made me cry laugh so hard. Aqua
Teen Hunger Force.
Oh, absolutely. And they kept changing their name around, like all these other things. Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
It's great.
It's nice to see Homestar Runner is still a website.
Homestar Runner, yeah. Homestar Runner is still
going. E-Bombs World. All the old.
Oh, things. No. E-Bombs World. Oh.
E-Bombs World.
Oh, all the stuff you kind of want to see, and this is stuff you wish you'd never seen.
That's when I first saw the In the World video. Okay.
Yes,
okay.
Round?
It's round? E-Bombs World. Yeah. Anyway.
E-Bombs World.
Fire these missiles. So trying to bluff Ruin. Ellen's not really doing a great job. And that's how we end chapter 67.
Right.
Any thoughts? Mm-mm. No? Okay. Chapter 68. We're going to have younger people listen to this podcast and be like, what the hell are they talking about for the last half an hour? Guys, go look at the old 90s of the internet. It was a fantastic place during that time.
Go on the Wayback Machine. That's an internet site you can go to.
All those videos are still readily available. Just no one watches them
anymore. I mean, so many people have uploaded some of those videos to YouTube, different versions up to YouTube. They've got to be available. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to start a TikTok page and just start uploading all those old videos as my own content. And
as your own content. The Charlie videos.
Charlie videos. Charlie unicorn. Chapter 68. All right. When the Lord Ruler offered his plan to his fair chemist friends, the plan to change them to mist race, he was making them speak on behalf of the land's fair chemists. Though he changed his friends into Contra to restore their minds and memories, the rest he left as non-sentient mist-wraiths. These bred more of their kind, living anti, becoming a race unto themselves. From these children of the original mist-wraiths, he made the next generations of Contra. However, even gods can make mistakes. I have learned Rashik, the Lord Ruler, thought to transform all the living fear chemists into mist-wraiths. However, he did not think of the genetic heritage left in the other Terrace people whom he had left alive. So it was the fear chemist fear chemist continued being born, if only rarely. This oversight cost him much, but gained the world so much more. So back in the day, any fair chemist, all his friends he made into Chondra, and then everyone else who was a fair chemist, he made into a mist wraith. And that mist wraiths continued to breed, and that's why they can create more Chondra, because they're still breeding. The Bags of Antlers are. But he neglected to remember that the genetic code was within the other population that weren't necessarily fair chemists, but it was, you know, could still born, you know.
All of that's confusing to me, but
you know, prominent or what is it? Genes. You have dominant genes and
recessive.
So yeah. There are still recessive genes of fair chemi within the regular population that he did not turn to mist wraiths. So they still are able to every once in a while create fair chemist, which is why Sazed and people still exist.
I guess that's why you shouldn't be a geneticist. Trying to make your own species and stuff if you don't understand all the things that go along with that.
Yeah. Exactly. There we go. So we're back with Sazed. He's being escorted down through the Chondra tunnels. And the Chondra are displaying some kind of fear towards him, and Sazed's just taking it all in. He's like, ooh, these ones have like wood for bones. That's interesting. Oh, these ones have rock. That's kind of cool. Like, he's being very scholarly about it.
Right.
And, you know, he even asked about the first contract. He's like, so now the Lord Ruler's dead. Did the Chondra, like, have to still follow the first contract? And the Chondra, like, I don't know.
he's bold with asking these questions. I mean, to be like taken, he's basically kind of prisoner in the situation. And he's just asking all kinds of bold questions, you know.
Yeah.
Tell me about this first contract. And they're like, yeah. Okay. They could have just been like, how about you shut the hell up? Stop with that yapping.
Yeah. So he's finally led down to the trust warren. And he's like, who are you to come into our homeland? He's like,
right.
He's like, you'll sit over there. He's like, I'll do whatever the hell I want. Like, he just like walks around the room. He's like, so I need to talk to the first generation. Like,
again, this dude knows this thing.
He's like, I do whatever. He's like, you take it to me right now. Like, that's what's how it's going to work. Like, he's like, jeez. I am the announcer. And they're like,
I'm the announcer. There's a hush.
Like, everyone's like, what did you just say? He's like, oh, just because you're a Chondra, you don't think I'm as a Terraceman know about your secret? Like, I know what you guys are. I know your religion. I know what I am. I am the announcer. I'm here to announce the Hero of Ages. Like, take me to your leaders. and
literally, yeah, this guy.
Yeah. And of course, they scoff at his request. They're like, this guy, Kampar, comes out. He's like, Tensun sent you, right? That's why you're blasphemy. You're just this guy Tensun took down mm-hmm, here. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. He told you everything. So bullshit. We don't believe you. Go back home. We don't care. it's like, you're right. Tensun did. But it doesn't change the fact that that's who I am. So once again, the religion still is here. And they get into some philosophical talk about all this as well. Right. You know, says like, you know, you should believe me. Like my whole job. He takes out all, starts taking out all his medals and starts placing them down. Takes his copper mines and slaps them back on. And he's like, so the thing about us is that we can remember everything. Now you were there, so obviously you have a true memory, but ours is corrupted. They're like,
well, oh, and he's like, and he's like, oh, there's like 500 and blah 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 religions. Do you know how many survived?
One.
One.
Yours. Yep. So the fact is, I have your religion in this copper mine here, but mine's been corrupted. Your mind hasn't. So if we compare the two, we can figure everything out. So let's talk. Mm-hmm. Like, it's pretty good logic. I mean,
it's great logic. I loved it. Like, absolutely.
Of course, Kampar's all pissed off. And then finally you hear from up top, like, get out.
Yep.
Kampar's like, what do you mean? He's like, everyone out. We'll talk to him. The most Contra bag of antlers, but Kampar's a bag of dicks.
I'll agree with that statement. I'll agree with that statement. He's a bag of dicks. Absolutely. I mean, but look, I mean, these guys are all, this second generation stuff has all been bag of dicks. I mean, even when Tensun was getting like on trial and stuff, as much as I don't like Tensun, it was still a bag of dicks. It was talking to him. I was like, oh, come on, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. So finally, and Carl says it, a world bringer.
World bringer. Mm-hmm. That's odd.
But- yeah. Yeah, I didn't think you would catch anything from that, but that's something, that's what they called him.
Yeah, so I thought it was odd when I heard it, and I was like, they didn't call him the announcer. They called him
They called him a Worldbringer.
Worldbringer. I was like, okay.
Yeah, tells all the other Kanja leaves is we'll speak to this Worldbringer.
Yeah.
Alone.
Alone, that's right.
And you get to actually get a first description of them. Like, they look like super old.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're still wearing their original bones, and they're like,
skin was draping off of their bones like moss on trees. I was like, ew.
Yeah. And Says is just in there like,
he can leap about. Look at the bones.
Of course he is. And then
translucent skin. Yeah.
And it's like kind of shimmery a little bit. Kind of. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Not a good look. Crazy. There's a lot of implications here. There's a lot of stuff happening. Mm-hmm. But this is a great plan, I think. You know,
he's got an absolutely great plan. Love it.
Yeah.
I mean,
because if you can figure out the difference, you can figure out his plan, what Rude's plan actually is.
Because why would he change something that wasn't germane to what he was trying to do?
Right.
So, you find the differences. Now you know what's the things to key in on.
Yeah. I mean, the swagger, going back to Seiza, he's like, I need a table and a chair and a bunch of metal and something so I can engrave on. And they're like, who the hell are you? It's like, come on.
Snap to it. Snap to it, my men.
I'm not going to be here all day. Like, go get it right now. I need this stuff.
I mean, because time is of the essence. I mean, we know, I mean, we as readers know that it's like the time is, like they said last episode in one of the chapters we read.
Days.
Not weeks. Days. Maybe a week.
Yeah.
But not weeks.
Exactly.
So. Snap two, my people.
Snap two. Yep. Anything else from this chapter or anything else you guys wanted to touch on? Anything from notes?
Good stuff. Again, like Sage, I like Sage's swagger.
Yeah. The Sage and swagger. This chapter was great.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah. He has that swag. Mm-hmm. Chapter 69. Nice. The question remains, where did the original prophecies of the Hero Ages come from? I know that Ruin changed them, but did not fabricate them. Who first thought that a hero would come? One who would be an emperor of all mankind, yet would be rejected by his own people? Who first stated that he would carry the future of the world in his arms? or that he would repair that which has been sundered? And who decided to use the neutral pronoun so that we do not know whether the hero was a woman or a man? more exposition. There.
Yeah.
Another short chapter.
But a good chapter, though.
But a good
short,
chapter.
But good.
Mm-hmm. So Marsh is walking and sees Gordell.
Of course, we don't know who it is.
We don't.
I mean, we hear about the things going down. I didn't. I don't know, Will. When did you realize who it was?
Wait. Well, before that, like, hold on. He wasn't just walking. Well, didn't he like get transported?
No. It starts. The chapter starts. Marsh knelt in a pile of ash, hating himself from the world. The ash fell without cease, drifting on his back, covering him. He did not move.
Okay. Maybe I read that wrong.
Yeah.
Well, I realized it was
because he's like self-pitying himself. He's like, I was there with Vin, yet I couldn't speak to her. I couldn't tell her anything. I like because he's having a moment of himself.
Yeah, here. He's like, trying. Yeah.
He's like, there was my moment, and they almost let, you know, I wish I could have let Vin kill me, like, and I couldn't. Like he's doing this whole "woe is me, how can I die" thing again.
Right.
And that was at that point. And while he's like sitting there thinking about all that, he looks up and sees a man walking through the ash.
Man and a horse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I was wondering, I mean, this whole thing that goes down, though, this whole like little mini battle between these two, I was like, who is this dude that's like, you know, holding his own for a little bit?
And I had a feeling.
And then it didn't even like mesh up with me two and two.
Until they said he had a metal sheet, I was like,
metal sheet. And I was like, oh, it's Gordo, man. I was like, oh, are you kidding me?
Yeah,
I was trying to figure out how he like got there because it felt like he was sent there by Ruin because Ruin wanted the.
Might have been, but this is also really. I mean, they get into a little fight. Gordo holds his own for a little bit, but.
Yeah, because what are the odds though that they would run into each other? I think you might be onto something there with Will because yeah. I mean, it's not like, you know, like there's roads and stuff. I mean, everything's covered in ash, right? So, I mean, how could you possibly be like, oh, well, just follow this road to get there? I mean, at this point in time, you're just going based on directions, right? It's like, okay, just go east.
Yeah.
You know, and hope you get to the right spot. So the odds of you running across somebody else is probably something else. So, yeah, it could be a thing where the Lord Ruler told, I mean, the Ruin told him, hey, go right here and sit and stay until this thing goes down because I can't read what's on that metal sheet of paper.
Yeah,
I gotta have somebody intercept that.
And Ruin right. doesn't put the whole two and two together about the metal thing. He just thinks like it's like what you can't read, like you're oh, you God, Marsh. You can't even read.
Oh, Marsh, yeah, Marsh is like, oh, he can't read. That's right. He's like Charlie Day, and it's always sunny in Philadelphia. He can't.
I just never learned how to read. Yeah, could be a god. I don't have to know how to read. Come on, it's.
I don't read the words good. Poor guy.
He's like, what? You guys can read?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So yeah, I mean, he does definitely. Ends up killing Gordell. I mean, they.
Oh do man, and make sure he's dead. He just goes battering that body for like a minute.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. And then takes the metal sheet up and is about to just take it. And then Ruin his head talks. He's like, read it to me. And he's like, okay. So and he does read it. And then he crumbles it up and throws it into the ash and yep. leaves to go to Lithidal. But the note says Quillian actually placed his spike himself. As I understand it, the man was never entirely stable. His fever or fever toward following Kelsier and killing the nobility was enhanced by Ruin. But Quillian already had impulses. His passionate paranoia bordered on insane. Oh, no, never mind. I'm reading the next epigraph. That's not the.
I was going to say, that doesn't sound like spook at all, man. Come on now.
No, I was reading the next epigraph. Sorry. What does it say? I was hoping it would be in italicized, but no. Vin, my mind is clouded. A part of me wonders what is real anymore. I found it. Yet one thing seems to press on me again and again. I must tell you something. I don't know if it will matter, but I will say it nonetheless. The thing we fight is real. I've seen it. It has tried to destroy me and it has tried to destroy the people of Orto. It got control of me through a method I wasn't expecting. Metal. A little sliver of metal piercing my body. With that, it was able to twist my thoughts, and I couldn't take complete control of it. Couldn't take complete control of me, like you control the Koloss. But it did something similar. I think perhaps the piece of metal wasn't big enough. I don't know. In any case, it appeared to me taking the form of Kelsier. Be careful, Vin. Don't trust anyone pierced with metal. Even the smallest bit can taint a man. That was the note. Yeah.
Right.
And then he crumbled up and threw it down.
It'll be lost forever.
Yeah. So don't trust anybody with earrings.
Nope.
Yeah, you don't trust earring people.
Earring people.
Earring people. Yeah. So if you're like, if you're George Michael back in like he was in the 80s, like big controversy of piercing his ears. Do you remember that? That was the 80s thing.
That was like, back in the day. Nobody trusted anybody back in the day. My ears actually pierced, but I
get an earring.
Earring in forever. So I keep saying I'm going to wear one again, but I just haven't found one I actually like. So
yeah. Anyway.
My wife, she got her nose pierced.
It was very trendy back in the 80s and early 90s for guys to get earrings. Obviously, it still has some trend to that. But like, I remember my parents were like adamant against it, and I pierced my own ear when I was like in elementary school, because it was like they would not refuse. But I took it out immediately because I still got a little scar tissue. But I think it's I can't remember.
Back in the day, like in the 80s and 90s, the deal was if you pierced your left ear, you were okay, but if you were pierced your right ear, you were gay.
Yeah.
Oh my god!
I remember when I learned about that, someone told me it was like left is right and right is wrong. I was like,
it was like the most homophobic stuff, man.
Yeah, it was super. Yeah,
it's so cringe. I mean, I was watching an episode of Seinfeld where the guy's like, you know, it was I can't remember which episode it was, but anyways, the guy, he's like the guy that owns the manager of Monk's Cafe. Is it where they go to all the time in Seinfeld? Monk's. I think it's the place to go to. Anyway, and he leans down one time. He turns and looks at him. He's got his ear pierced. And they're like, because he's like, oh, he must be gay because he has an earring. And I'm like,
yeah. The 90s were an interesting time.
Oh, man. Terrible times for like any type of stereotype prejudice you could think of. It was like running rampant.
Yeah.
Yep.
Anyway. Yeah. So, what do you think about all of this? I mean, obviously, we knew this about being pierced by metal, but...
Yeah. Well, again, I was impressed with Gordell. He held his own for a minute.
He did. Yeah.
Poor horse, though, getting, like, de-legged. It was, like, chopped off the front two legs and...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, that was rough.
It was. It's kind of funny to me that Spook is, like, the first one to, like, make this realization.
Yeah.
About Sparks.
Les de Bonnes.
Yeah. Or am I wrong about that?
No, he. I think he kind of is. I mean, he has personal experience. I mean, no one else really does.
So unfortunately, what's happened though is my mind is getting. I feel like my thoughts are getting conflicted because of all of the epigraphs. So I'm trying. I'm having problems separating epigraphs from what's actually happened in
chapters. Yeah, it's normal.
Yeah, so it's like I'm like, did someone know that before, or is that something that was said to us in a
epigraph?
Yeah.
Or is it an epitome?
Epitome. You just had to. You just had to, didn't you?
I swear to God, after this podcast, I'm going to forget how to say like epitome.
Oh, no, you're going to forget to say it the right way.
Yeah. I was watching something the other day, and someone said it the other day, and I just now I notice it when people say it. Because like beforehand, I think I just blocked it out. I was just like, oh, whatever.
Oh, when people miss it, when they mispronounced it?
Yeah, and I know it's wrong, but I'm just like, yeah, I know what you're trying to say. Like, and I just don't, my brain wouldn't process it like the same way. But now it's like, every time I'm like,
epitome, no.
I think I was like at work or something. Someone was reading a speech and they said epitome. And I was just like,
oh no, at work. Ugh.
Yeah, I think it was like a chamber of commerce event or something like that. And someone like,
oh, it's even worse. Oh,
no. It was something like that. And I was just like, oh,
yeah, that's bad.
Oh, that hurts.
Yeah, it hurts me in my soul when I hear that. I mean, epitome, but again,
I don't want to be the one guy in the audience like epitome idiot.
But I just hate the fact that it's like I was watching this video and a guy was just trying to be like all actually like, you know, like be like super brilliant with his like little monologue. And then he said epitome. And I was like, oh, dude, you just sabotaged everything you said before, because you like trying to be like all eloquent with your circumlocution. And then you said epitome. And I was like, oh, get out of here.
This is the epitome of
chaos. Okay. Wait, chaos is chaos, man. Come chaos. On. Now. Chaos.
Chaos. I'm gonna start saying it that way.
Chaos.
Oh wait, chaos. Okay, I like chaos. It. See, I like that.
This is very chaotic.
It's got swagger to it. I'm okay with that.
Chaos. We see all the time for wherever we go racing sailboats. Like we have friends, we know, like when we were in college, we go like, you want to go yachting today?
Yachting.
Going yachting?
Yeah, I used to call it yachts.
Yachting?
Yeah, man.
Let's go yachting. All right, chapter 70. I already started reading the epitome. I can continue where I left off.
Uh-huh.
His passionate paranoia bordered on insanity at times, and Rune was able to prod him into placing that crucial spike, talking about Quillian. Quillian's spike was bronze, and he made it from one of the first Allomancers he captured. That spike made him a seeker, which was one of the ways he was able to find and blackmail Allomancers during the time he was King of Orto. The point, however, is that people with unstable personalities are more susceptible to Ruin's influence, even if they didn't have a spike in them. That indeed is likely how Zane got his spike. So that's where he learned Quillian spiked himself.
Mm.
And now let's talk about the number 16.
Please. Let's do it. Sure, why not?
So Ellen and Yeoman are taking a tour of Phagix together. They're doing the Grand Tour, the Dime Tour, the Nickel Tour, whatever you call it. You know, Ellen's lecturing Yeoman about the facts that the soldiers know more about technical knowledge and, you know, about how emotion and courage is more important and things like that. And they're having a philosophical debate because they actually do like each other, despite their, you know, from a philosophical point of view.
They did. Yeah.
Yeah. They traveled to the infirmary in the Canton building, and a boy with a case of sickness is brought in. And this is where Ellen asks Yeoman about what he knows about the mystic and sickness. And he mentions the statistical anomaly. He's like, yeah, isn't it weird that like 16% get sick? And Yeoman's like, I didn't know 16%, but that makes sense. He's like,
yeah, that sounds about right. And I'm like, oh, okay.
He's like, well, why does that make sense? He goes, well, that's a really secret number for us as the obligators. Like, you know, 16 medals, 16, you know, he's like doing all this, like 16 this, 16 that.
Yeah, he's like medals. 16 days and for the Lord Ruler to create everything. And,
yeah. It's going on all these 16s. And like, he's like, it makes sense to be 16. And like, and Ellen goes, wait, 16 medals? There's only four. He goes, well, yeah, there's only four or 14. He's like, there's only 14 we know about, but like, there has to be 16. Like, they come in groups of four. So it's two by two by two by two. It's 16. Like, there has to be two we just don't know about. Like,
right,
it sounds like,
and it makes sense. I mean, the group makes sense because it's what were they? Strength, mind. Strength,
yeah, he goes through them all.
Mind, something and temporal. So the two that are probably missing are temporal.
Right.
So you got ATM, and then the other one that
gold.
Is it gold? Yeah, gold. Thank you.
Well, gold's opposite is the poor man's ATM. Electrum.
Okay, so that's not the two that we're missing then. Anyway, I thought maybe they're temporal, but I don't know which ones are missing because I don't have the little... You guys have like the chart in the book and everything. I don't have...
Yeah, I can go back and look and see what the 14 are that they listed in the book.
Oh, they do? Listed?
Yeah, because you guys have showed it to me before. It's like in the back of the book or something. You guys like held it up to the...
Yeah, so the 14 that are listed are iron, steel, tin, pewter, zinc, brass, copper, bronze, ATM, meltium, gold, electrum, aluminum, and duralumin.
That's another one I forgot.
So those are 14.
Does it show them grouped in like quadrants or anything? Or
it has the symbols for them. But
there you go. That's what I was thinking.
And there's 16 symbols, but it doesn't say what the other two.
Ah, there you go. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, they're all there.
So good reveal about, you know, 16.
Yeah. Cool. And that was cool. He's like 16%. And Ellen starts thinking about 16 medals. 16%. 16. Holy shit. When we were kids, we were beaten. And that's why none of the nobles get sick, because they've already snapped. Like, only the ska are getting sick. And, like, he starts, like, putting two and two together. Like, the ska, the only ones getting sick. Like, the nobles aren't. They're beating at a young age to make them snap. Like,
right.
So, 16% of the ska are snapping. He's like, get someone over here. Get someone over here that you know, he's like, give him medals. And, then, like, he drinks. He's like, now feel what you got. He was like, I feel something. And he's like, yes. We have an entire now army of elementers.
Right.
Immediately gets the ward. The Colossus are immediately started to attack. He's like,
yeah, because Ruin's like,
Ruin uh-oh. Just figured out what we figured out. Like,
yeah,
quick, get every scrape, start shaving off metal everywhere and feed it to everyone. Like, yep, just feed metal to everyone right now. Like, think this is a turning point.
That was a good reveal. That was a good reveal. I liked it. I like the fact that it like reveals that, like, the preservation. I don't know what the form was.
Yeah,
preservation.
That the mist wasn't evil. They were trying to help them. The mist
wasn't evil, and
yeah, it was forcing them to snap. So
now that's all coming back full circle about what it was trying to say.
It wasn't trying to kill them. It was just trying to make them all snap. And sometimes it has to be dramatic. Right. It has to be near death, and that's why sometimes people would die. But they needed it to happen to. Mm-hmm. Get people ready for it's the only way they're going to beat Ruin is because Allomancy is of preservation, so you need Allomancers.
Yep,
and yeah,
it's crazy.
Good cliffhanger.
So, this is pretty much going to be like the scene from the Avengers where like everyone comes out like through the gates,
through the
Doctor Strange portals, and like
it's not going to be that good. These people do not know how to use their powers at all. This is going to be the worst Benny Hill sketch ever. Yakety Sax playing in the background. Yeah, man.
Oh, man. But yeah, so there we have it.
All right, so we finally found out what 16 is all about.
It's a very, very whole number and very sacred to it's sacred to preservation as well. Number that represents preservation. So yeah. Pretty cool. What?
I'm just like, well, this can't be the end of the book. Like, there's gonna be a battle, but no, what else is he gonna throw in there? There's still 100 pages left.
Yeah, we still have two episodes left.
Yeah, our last episode's gonna be
like Alana said. It's not gonna be successful.
Oh,
it's not gonna be successful. Reveal. Hooray, but okay, great. It's like if somebody told me, it's like, hey, you know what? You all have skateboards, and then you put like 100 people on skateboards and be like, go, and they're like all falling down, scraping knees and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, oh, okay, well, that did nothing. I mean, I'll just hand everybody shotguns and be like, hey, hope that works out for you. And they're like, shoot, buckshot at each other.
Seriously, these books are so good. On a reread, you can pick out all the little clues, like the things like this are happening.
Yeah. Oh, of course there are. It's like a million clues that this guy's been dropping the whole time.
Yeah.
I can't wait to do a reread on my own at some point in time, just so I can kind of pick up on all this stuff.
All this stuff, yeah.
Yeah, just so that way I can just be like, oh, I was an idiot. I missed all that.
Oh, that's so obvious. Actually, it was during this podcast that I realized how early on Chondra is mentioned in the books. Like, it's mentioned, and I didn't even catch that. And I've read them now. This is my fourth time reading through it with you guys. And
was it like the third chapter or something? Was it like really early?
It's very early in Final Empire that they mentioned the word Chondra, and it's in passing. And I'm like,
right,
it's mentioned that early? Like, Chondra? Like, oh wow, it's very early on.
Look, and they hit to it. at that point in time, we were just trying to remember whose names were who, right?
Yeah.
And he's already dropping like in-game type stuff, like we're in like, the very okay, first couple chapters.
So her name is Vin. His name is Kelsier.
This metal does that.
Right, right. We don't care about no Condra.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shoot.
Yeah. So, anyways, so anything from this chapter? I mean, obviously, it's a good, it's a fun reveal, but some in-game type, revelations. But
right.
Yeah. Thoughts? Any final thoughts about any of these chapters?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Favorite character?
Oh, mine's is easy.
Same.
Okay.
Gordel.
Oh.
Ooh. Okay.
Sazed.
Sazed swagger. Man, okay. You got that swagger.
I'm going to do man, bear, pig.
Man, bear, pig. Why not?
Because if nothing else, just for telling Sazed where the...
I forget the next couple lines, but then it goes...
Secret tunnel! Secret tunnel!
Nice. Secret tunnel!
There you go.
Good times. Yeah, good. Sazed. You had Sazed. Who did you have? Will or Londo?
Londo had Gordel.
Gordel.
Gordel. Oh yeah, good one. Good one.
Yeah.
Awesome.
He went down like a true champ, though.
Yeah. Well, next week we'll be doing five chapters. Just five.
Okay.
And then the following week we'll be at JordanCon doing the rest of the book.
Very nice.
So on your plane flights or slash my road trip down there, I can read through all these chapters and be ready to go. So at some point, it might not be our normal time spot because that's on a Sunday night. And I think you guys are flying back on Sunday, right?
I'm flying back on Monday. What time are we recording the podcast?
I think we'll figure that out when we get there.
Okay.
So it'll be last minute, guys. So when we're there, like, hey, recording like in 1 hour. Let's go.
I like to record. I like to read right before we go. Like every Sunday, I like read like at six.
When do you fly out, Will?
I think like 3 on Sunday.
On Sunday. Okay, we can do that Saturday at some point during the day. I'll have to look at the schedule and see when like a good downtime is. I might do like a midday. Like, I don't know. And I thought I also have to check like if we're going to do it in the lobby or if we're just going to do it in a room where it's more sound quality. I'll figure it all out. I haven't decided yet.
Oh, I thought we were going to like have like a audience or something. But
we can reserve space in the lobby and do it in front of the audience. Uh-huh. That is a possibility. The sound quality is not going to be as good because we're in a lobby.
Right.
But that is a possibility. And I thought about doing it that way. I go back and forth just because.
Well, I mean, well, if you get a good enough mic, I mean, because these Yeti mics are pretty good at isolating. So, I mean, they're pretty good at isolating and they kind of get rid of all of the noise. But they're not that good if you're in a room that has a lot of like moving air. Stuff
that's
like that.
The lobby is gigantic with giant high ceilings,
right?
And it has a bar downstairs, like it's multi-leveled and a bar downstairs. And like, I don't know how much, I don't know if it's gonna be the best. So, I might play around with it a little bit, like in the middle of the night, like Thursday night. I might take myself down there and like do some test recordings.
Okay, well, I'll be coming in Thursday. Actually, I'm coming to I'm coming to stay with you on Thursday, man. So, okay. We can play around with some stuff, like hit a couple spots and see what sounds right.
Exactly,
so, cool.
Yep. Cool. Awesome. Doing through chapter, was it five chapters? Through chapter 55. That's another one of those.
75, old, right?
Yeah, 75. Okay. I'll say shifty five.
Oh, shifty five. Okay. Sorry.
Have you ever count to one, two,
three,
five, two? Shifty five. Shifty five. Anyway, 75. It was another one of those great videos. Oh, I love the early 90s or mid 90s, late 90s.
Mid-90s. I don't know when that was.
Mid 90s to late 90s. Mm-hmm. So how you found is at thecosmereads.com where you can find links to all sorts of cool stuff like our merchandise. Yeah, get some merch. Or you can find links to Patreon, support us that way, our Discord. All sorts of fun stuff. So go check us out. Like, subscribe, leave reviews, all that fun stuff. We'll enjoy it all. And that's pretty much all I got. So until next time.
Thank you for watching The Cosmere Reads.
Gosh thanks, gosh, 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 stay fresh. Gosh thanks, gosh, 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 stay fresh.